Welcome to the Reign of Grace radio broadcast. My name is Bill Parker. I'm the pastor of the 13th Street Baptist Church in Ashland, Kentucky. This program is sponsored by the members of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia, located at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia. I'll be bringing you a gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the Lord Jesus Christ from God's holy word. And now, the message.
Welcome to our broadcast today. Now, if you have your Bibles and you'd like to follow along as I read the scripture, I'm going to be preaching from Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. The title of the message today is The Gospel of God. Now, the book of Romans has a prominent place in the New Testament in that it is the first of the New Testament epistles. And I honestly believe that God, in His good providence, ordered it that way because of the fullness of this letter, Paul's letter to the church at Rome. And its theme is justification by the grace of God. In other words, how sinners are justified before a holy and righteous God. To be justified is to be saved. You know, we talk about salvation. What is it to be saved? Well, in the Bible, salvation is to be justified. And the word justified means to be declared righteous. Righteous based on God's law. This word justification is a full word. It means to be forgiven of all my sins. And it also means to be qualified and fit for the presence and favor and fellowship of God, as well as being entitled to the whole inheritance of eternal life. So a person who is saved by God is justified. And what Romans and the whole Bible teaches is that justification before God is by His grace, not based on our works or our efforts to keep the law, because we cannot keep the law. We cannot be good enough to go to heaven in our works. You know, somebody asks, how good do you have to be saved or to go to heaven? Well, you have to be perfect according to the law, and none of us are perfect, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we're all sinners. So the question of questions is this: how can a sinner be justified before a holy God? And of course, the answer to that question is but one way: by the grace of God, His free gift of salvation in and by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's what the gospel of God reveals. And that's what we're going to look at here in Romans chapter 1. Beginning at verse 1, let's read Romans 1:1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Now, Paul identifies himself here in three ways. First of all, he says he's a servant of Jesus Christ. And you need to understand that this person, this man, whom God the Holy Spirit used to write this letter, Paul, before he was saved, he was Saul of Tarsus. He was an enemy of Jesus Christ, one who hated the true and living God in his religion. He thought that he served and believed in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the Old Testament. But he came to find out that he was lost. And God stopped him on the Damascus Road and broke this rebel and saved him from his sin. That revelation of Jesus Christ to Saul of Tarsus. And now he says not only is he not an enemy of Jesus Christ, but he's a servant of Jesus Christ. And that word servant there is bond slave. He is a willing and loving bondslave of Jesus Christ. Now, that word bondslave comes from the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, there was the law of bondslavery. When a man became in debt to the point that he could not pay himself out of debt, he was to be indebted to the person to whom he owed the debt. He became that person's servant and slave. And he served that person for 7 years until the debt was paid. At the end of the 7 years, if he wanted to, willingly, because he loved his master, and because his master loved him, he could become a bond slave of his master. That is, In other words, he would be a servant to his master, not because he had to be, not because he was forced to be, but because he wanted to be a servant. And that's what it is when God saves a sinner. A saved sinner becomes a willing, loving bond slave of Christ. We serve Christ not because we have to, not because we owe a debt to God's law and justice, but because we want to. He has drawn our hearts out towards Him. You see, many people today claim to be servants of Christ, but they think they're paying a debt. They think they have to earn their salvation from God. They think they have to meet certain conditions in order to be saved or to stay saved. That's not a bond slave. That's a legal forced slavery. But Paul says he's a bond slave of Jesus Christ. And then secondly, he says he's called to be an apostle. He was called by Christ to this office, to be an apostle, one who received the word of God directly from the Lord Jesus Christ, one who has the authority to deliver the word of God. There are no apostles today. That was an office back then given to 12 men. That they would be the heads of the church. They would be the instruments which God would use to start churches. Christ is the head, but these men were under shepherds, and God used them mightily in the early period of the New Testament to form His churches and to bring the Word of God. And then He says, thirdly, He separated unto the gospel of God. Now, what is it that separates God's people from the world? Most people, when they think about separation, they think about things like touch not, taste not, handle not. What they don't do, what they don't see, what they refuse to watch, what they refuse to eat or drink, what they refuse to handle. But Paul in Colossians chapter 2 says that that's not separation from the world, that's identification with the world. Any person who thinks that their distinction as a servant of Christ is in what they don't do as far as taste not, touch not, handle not in a legal way, is actually, without their knowing it, identifying with the lost religious world. But Paul says here that what separated him from the world is the gospel of God. Now that word gospel means good news. So he's talking about some good news that originates from God, not from man. In other words, this gospel is not of man. Man didn't write it. Man didn't come up with it. It didn't have its origin in man. It's the gospel of God. God, who from the beginning chose a people out of Adam's fallen race and gave them to His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and put all the responsibility of their full salvation upon Christ and upon Him alone. God, who sent His Son into this world to stand in the place of His people, to obey the law for them perfectly, and to go to the cross of Calvary, shedding His blood for their sins, to satisfy law and justice, and establish the only righteousness by which sinners can be justified before God. It is the gospel of God. It's the gospel of grace. God, who is sovereign, saves in sovereign mercy and sovereign grace. My friend, listen to me. God will never save any sinner based on anything that sinner does, because God is a holy God. He's a righteous God. He judges according to truth. Yes, He is merciful. And He's gracious and He's loving. But He must also be just and holy and righteous. And here's the question of questions. How can God be both a righteous, holy judge and judge according to truth, while at the same time be a merciful, loving, and gracious Father? Well, here's some good news. God can be just and a just God and a Savior, based on the blood and the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's the good news. God will save any sinner who comes to Him pleading the merit of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you come pleading anything else, plead your work, plead what you admire, plead your heritage, plead your social graces, plead anything you want. If you plead anything but the merits of the finished work of Christ, you will not be saved. Now look at verse 2. Now here he has a parenthesis here. He says, this gospel of God, which He had promised before by His prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Now Paul is saying here that this gospel of God is nothing new. It's the same gospel that God revealed and preached in the Old Testament through Moses and the prophets. From the very beginning, everything that God has for sinners by way of good news is in this gospel of God. Salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ by the free and sovereign grace of God. And he promised this before by his prophets. That's all the prophets of the Old Testament. You see, my friend, we need to understand that the whole Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, is a book about Christ. Christ is the subject, he's the object, he's the central theme of Genesis to Revelation. Genesis is just as much about Christ. Genesis, which is the book of beginnings, talks about creation, the beginning of nations. Genesis is just as much about Christ as the book of Revelation, as the book of Romans. In the book of Genesis, Christ is revealed as the seed of woman, the one who would come and take care of the serpent, Satan, and destroy the work that Satan had done in the people of God. He's also the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the King of Kings. In Exodus, he's the Passover lamb, whose blood was shed as the payment for the sins of the people. You see, there was no salvation in the blood of an animal, but that animal typified and pictured and pointed to the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. So in Exodus, he's the Lamb of God, the Passover Lamb. In Leviticus, he's the high priest. He's the tabernacle. He's the mercy seat. He's the Ark of the Covenant. He's the blood of the animals, all the sacrifices. Everything in that priesthood and in that tabernacle typifies, foreshadows some aspect of the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that people under that covenant were to understand that that law, the law of Moses, was a schoolmaster to lead sinners unto Christ. In the book of Numbers, he's the brazen serpent lifted up on a pole to which Moses instructed the people to look for a cure. He's the only cure for the poison of sin that runs through our hearts and our minds. In the book of Deuteronomy, he's that prophet that Moses spoke of, who is the embodiment of the Word of God. He is the eternal Logos. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You see, he is that prophet. He is the lawgiver, and he's the fulfiller of the law. And we could go on and on and on. The Old Testament preached the same gospel that the New Testament preaches. So he promised this before by his prophet in the Holy Scriptures. Now look at verse 3 of Romans chapter 1. The next thing that the apostle brings forth here is that this gospel of God concerns a person. Now we've been talking about that. The gospel, as I said, is the good news of eternal salvation, the complete forgiveness of all my sins, complete fitness and qualification for God's fellowship and favor, to commune with God, and a complete whole entitlement, eternal entitlement, to the whole inheritance of grace and glory, heaven itself, and all the glories and riches of heaven, all of those things. The gospel shows that they are all fulfilled and obtained by Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. So look at verse 3. This gospel of God concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and he says, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and then read on to verse 4, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Now, there are several things here brought out. Again, as I said, the gospel of God is the good news of salvation and everything that's included in salvation based on the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, how can I know that this person, Jesus Christ, is qualified and able to do the work that the Father sent him to do? How can I know that? Well, that's because of who he is, his person. And that's what Paul's saying here. This gospel concerns Jesus Christ our Lord, and he says, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Now that speaks of the humanity of Christ. The one who saves sinful men from their sins must be man himself without sin. Christ was made of the seed of David. That speaks of his humanity. He was fully human, body and soul. He was born of the Virgin Mary. He was his humanity was created in the womb of the Virgin Mary by the Holy Spirit, body and soul, in order to take my place, in order to assume responsibility for my salvation, in order to keep the law as my substitute and surety, in order to go to the cross and die for my sins, charged to his account, he had to be man, without sin. Now, an imperfect man could not stand in my place, because an imperfect man would be a sinner like me. But this person, who is man, was sinlessly perfect, and he came and he assumed human nature to take my place, to take the place of his sheep. He said, I laid down my life for the sheep. Well, who were his sheep? Sinful men and women. So he had to be man. He had to be the seed of woman. Now, he could not be born of man, of Adam, like you and I are, because that would make him a sinner. But he was born miraculously of the Virgin Mary, the seed of woman, conceived not by man, but by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin. And that way he could shed his blood. You see, God cannot die. God cannot suffer and bleed and die. But this person who is God did suffer and bleed and die for his people. And he satisfied law and justice. So he was made of the seed of David. That's according to prophecy, the line of the tribe of Judah, the kingly line. And that's the instrument through which God brought the Lord Jesus Christ. Now it says in verse 4, he was declared to be the Son of God. You see, the language here is specific. He wasn't made to be the Son of God. The Son of God was not something that he had to earn. He was and is by nature the Son of God. In other words, that speaks of his deity. He is both God and man in one person. Somebody told me one time that's mind-boggling. Well, you bet it is. But this is the mediator. This is the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is God. Now, don't hesitate on that. A man in our church was asking one of his co-workers one time. He said, do you believe that Jesus is God? And the man who claimed to be a Christian turned around and said to him, he said, well, no. He's the Son of God. Now, listen to me very carefully. To say that he's the Son of God does not mean that he's a lesser God, or that he's not quite God, or that he is something in between God and man. Now, he is a mediator. But listen to me. He is very God of very God. Jesus Christ is 100% God as if he were never man, and he's 100% man as if he were never God. He's God and man, both 100%. Don't ever hesitate. Listen, if you worship him and you serve him, but you don't see him as God, you know what that makes you? It makes you an idolater. God alone is to be worshipped. God alone is to be praised and served. God alone can save. And Jesus Christ is God in human flesh. Now, there are denominations who claim to be Christian, who deny his deity. My friends, stay clear of that. They deny the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's no good news in their gospel. If salvation is to come from God to sinful men and women, it must be God himself in human flesh who takes our place as our substitute, as our surety. You see, he must bring forth a righteousness that we cannot produce. It cannot be the righteousness of mere man. It must be the righteousness of God in order to save us from our sin. And it says here that he was declared to be the Son of God with power. That is, with the power of God that raised him from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Now, you know what the resurrection from the dead here means more than simply he came out of the grave. Now, we know that's true. And we know that's a miraculous thing. God the Father, raised his Son from the dead. And that's to be attributed to his humanity, because in himself he was life and is life. So God raised him from the dead. He resurrected. Now, what does that mean? I'll tell you exactly what it means. It means the work that he came to do is totally finished. He didn't leave it undone. You see, he died because of sin charged to him. The Bible says God made him to be sin. Christ, who knew no sin, he didn't commit any sin. Yeah, he died on the cross of Calvary. But he died under the legal judgment of sin, not for sins that he personally committed, but for the sins of his sheep, the sins of his people, the sins of God's elect. He went there and suffered and bled and died for sins that he did not personally commit. He went there for the sins of his people, and he died. He suffered, bled, and he died because sin, charged to his account, demanded his death. But in his death, we see a full satisfaction to the justice of God against the sins of his people. Therefore, in his death, he not only died for sins, but he established righteousness. And righteousness demands life. Therefore, the grave could not hold him. He came out of that grave because he finished the work that he was sent to do. He fulfilled all the conditions of salvation. You see, there are conditions for salvation. But none of those conditions are upon us. They were all laid upon Christ. And he fulfilled the conditions, and he came out of that grave. But listen to me. He didn't come out of that grave just for himself. The Bible says he came out of that grave for his people. He came to this earth. He kept the law. He suffered. He bled. He died. He was buried. And he was raised again the third day for his people. And who are they? I'll tell you who they are. Everyone who comes to hear and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's exactly who he died for. That's who he was buried for. And that's who he was resurrected for. My friend, there's not one person whom Christ represented in his death, burial, and resurrection that will end up in hell. Because you know why? Righteousness demands life. Well, look at verse 5. Now he says, Paul writes here, he says, by whom we have received grace and apostleship. Notice he says, by whom? In other words, it's in Christ that Paul had received grace, the grace of salvation, the grace of the gifts of the Spirit, even faith and repentance, all of the work of the Holy Spirit. That's the new birth. That's the Spirit giving spiritual life, raising a sinner from the dead, giving that sinner faith to hear and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and bringing that sinner to repentance of his own works, his dead works and idolatry. It is in Christ that we who believe the gospel have received those things. And whatever office that we're called to or whatever gifts that we're given, that's through Christ too. And Paul was talking about his apostleship. The reason he was saved was by the grace of God. The reason he was given the gifts and the office of an apostle was by the grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now he says, for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. In other words, Paul was called, given this grace, called to this office for the obedience to the faith. The faith there means the truth. That body of truth, the gospel of God, the good news of salvation, conditioned on Christ, the good news of the finished work of Christ, the finished work of the God-man. And he says, among all nations. In other words, he was to preach this gospel to all nations. A gospel preacher does not have the choice of preaching to this one and not that one. You see, the Bible tells us, our Lord gave the disciples this commission. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. We're to preach the gospel to everyone who will listen. Everyone we have opportunity to preach it. And Paul says it's for his name. Now, when you see the name, the word name there, as applying to God, as applying to the Lord Jesus Christ, it means who he is, his character. It means his glory. In other words, Paul's saying, I've received this salvation, these gifts, this office for the obedience to the faith, to preach it everywhere for the glory of God. I'm not in it to make a name for myself. That's not why we have this program. It's not for me to make a name for Bill Parker. It's for the glory of God. I don't want to preach me. I don't want to promote me. I want to promote Christ. I want to preach him, whom to know is life. I don't want you to be directed to me. I want you to be directed to Christ, to see that he is the only hope of salvation. And he goes on in verse 6, he says, among whom are you also the called of Jesus Christ? Those who believe the gospel have been called by the Spirit through the preaching of the gospel. You know, the word church in the original language means called out one. They've been called out of the world and into the church. Now, how are they called out? They are called out by the power of the Holy Spirit through the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They've been called to Him. They've been called to look to Christ. Don't look to the preacher. Don't look to the denomination. Don't look to mom and dad. Don't look to some old profession. Look to Christ. And then verse 7, he says, to all that be in Rome, that is to all the believers in the church at Rome, beloved of God. In other words, Paul recognized the love of God upon them. How? Because they believed the gospel. They weren't under God's wrath. They had come out from under God's wrath in Christ, called to be saints. The word saint means set apart, sanctified one. A saint is not a Christian who has done great things for God or who has reached great heights of personal holiness. The moment God saves a sinner, He makes that sinner a saint. And you know how we become saints? Not by our works and efforts, not by great prayers that we pray, not by giving lots of money. We become saints by the grace of God based on the blood and the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone who's been called out of the world by the Spirit into the church, everyone who's been saved by the grace of God is a saint. Right now, you don't have to be canonized or voted on. You're a saint. You're made so by the grace of God. And then he says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Before there can be peace with God, there must be the grace of God. For peace with God between God and sinners comes by His grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's the gospel of God. And I hope that you'll seek that and study it and consider it. Now if you'd like a copy of this message and one other on an audio cassette tape or a CD, please send $2 and to the address that the announcer will give to you shortly. And be sure to specify whether you want an audio cassette tape or a CD. I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We're glad you could join us for today's message. If you would like to receive a copy of this message, or if you would like more information about Eager Avenue Grace Church, remember we are located at 1102 Eager Drive in Albany, Georgia. You can call us at 229-432-6969 or visit our Reign of Grace website at www.rofgrace.com. Thank you, and may the Lord be with you.